Call a meeting of the Energy Finance and Policy Division to order. The only item on the agenda today is a report from the Department of Commerce on the Governor's 2010 supplemental budget proposal. We'd just like to have a run-through of the items that are included in that so that we're sure that the committee understands what is being proposed and has an opportunity to ask questions about the various areas under discussion. Don't anticipate any action today, just the information that we can get from the department. We have various representatives from the areas of finance in the Commerce Department, and Mr. Jahnke, I guess we're going to start with you.
Mr.
So
Chair,
if you want to just give us a run through of the budget proposal.
Sure. Mr. Chair, members, Tim Jahnke with the Department of Commerce Financial Management area. We will walk through the governor's supplemental budget recs. There's a couple of documents that I think you should have. The first is the from the governor's supplemental budget pages, pages 37 and 38. They look something like this. The second document is a landscape document that has quite a bit more detail on it, some of the specific accounts. First, I'll just talk briefly about the governor's, the page 37 here. There's a couple of the first two categories on here are really what the breakdown of the on the bigger sheet is, or on the one with more lines. So the operating budget reductions in the program and grant reductions, those are the ones that we'll break out here in a bit more detail. As a bit of background, the amounts were calculated. We were given instructions to calculate 3% of operating fund reductions and 6% on grant funds. The fiscal year 10 calculations were to be based on the unexpended balances in the account. That included funds that were already committed in some cases for grants or other operating costs. The fiscal year 11 calculation was based on the budgeted amounts that were in the governor's or in the budget that was passed last legislative session. We're going to move to this page here and start walking through some of the line items. Just to orient you to what this page is, there's the first couple of columns here are for the operating reductions. Those were the 3% reduction that I mentioned, and we have fiscal year 10 and 11 values there. And then the second columns are the grants. Those were calculated at 6%, and the totals obviously are listed there as well. The first item, I'll also note that we're going to walk through these general fund first. You'll notice that there's a couple of areas that in our department that are not included here: the financial institutions division, the Office of Energy Security, and the telecommunications division were not included here. Those areas recover all of their general fund appropriations through assessments on the industry, so they were not included here. If you cut a dollar of spending, it's just a dollar less of revenue that would come into the general fund, so there would be no net impact there. The first item on the list is the administrative services area. This is the area in the department that provides human resources support, financial management support, IT, those kinds of services for the department. The reductions that are proposed here are $66,000 in fiscal 10 and $126,000 in fiscal year 11. Those reductions mainly would come from salary savings. We've held positions open in those areas, kind of knowing that these reductions would be coming. In fiscal year 10, we can handle that reduction with no impact on our operations, given the open positions we have. Those positions will open, will carry into fiscal 11, and in addition, we'll move one position to our indirect cost account, which is funded through a percentage of federal funds and some other funds that we have. So we'll move one of those positions there into that account to mitigate the impact on our admin services area.
Mr. Janke, just to, before you proceed, I'd like to invite members, if they do have questions, to just interrupt. I think rather than waiting to for the end of a presentation of this nature, it would be a lot better if you have a question. We'll just interrupt, and we'll recognize you whenever you have a question. Mr. Janke, please proceed.
Moving on to the next line is the market assurance budget reduction of $124,000 in fiscal 10, $196,000 in fiscal 11. Those will both likely be achieved through holding positions open and salary savings. The last session, some additional funding was given to the department for some enhanced investigations on some of the industries. Those costs were to be charged out to the industries and recoup that way. We'll prioritize the functions within that area to meet those revenue goals and to take on those most serious cases in the administration of the Market Assurance Division. So in both areas in the general fund, at this point, we're not anticipating layoffs, but we can't rule those out at this time, but we're not planning on those now. There's no questions on those. I'll move on to the petrol fund operations, or the petrol fund account.
Representative Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Janke, just for record, how many people are employed in administrative services and market assurance?
Mr. Janke.
Mr. Chair, Representative Anderson, in the administrative services area, we have around 42 FTE in that budget, and in the market assurance area, we have around 85. I don't know the exact number, but it's around that.
Thank you.
Proceed.
The petrol fund operations and petrol fund open appropriations are listed here in the next block on your sheet. The first account is, these are all for the administration and claims payment out of the petroleum tank release account. The first account is for operations. This is the account that we pay salaries, rent, all of the normal operating costs out of. There'd be a $25,000 and $32,000 reduction, respectively, out of fiscal years 10 and 11. The next few appropriations here are open appropriations from the fund. And these get a little trickier to talk about. The intention here is that those open appropriations would be reduced, and in total, the $569,000 in fiscal year 10 and $32,000 in fiscal year 11 would be reduced as expenditures in the out of the petrol fund account, and those dollars would then be transferred to the general fund to garner savings for the general fund. Out of the operations account, they've had a couple of staff leave, and those positions have been held open. So the intention is that this would not have effect on the operations of that program.
Mr. Janke, I think Representative Hortman had a question.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Sorry, it's microphone. The petrol fund, this is all general fund money that you're talking about?
Mr. Chair, Representative Hortman, the petrol fund is a special fund. It's a fund that was created that collects money from the petroleum specifically for this account. So this is non-general fund. So the reductions here would be, the reductions in spending here would be captured and transferred into the general fund, and that's how the general fund would garner those garner savings from this activity.
That's my question then.
Representative Hortman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The Petro Fund is funded, isn't it, by essentially a gas tax?
Mr. Chair, Mr. Representative Hortman, that's correct. The fund, when the fund balance gets down to $4 million, the tax blinks on for 4 months. The funds are then collected at the fund level, and then after 4 months, that tax blinks off. And then the money that's in that fund is then used for the operations for the next period of time until the balance gets down to that level again.
And so,
Representative Hortman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair Hilty. So then if we transfer money out of the Petro Fund into the general fund to help us resolve our deficit problem, then is that gas tax going to blink on sooner?
Mr. Janke?
Mr. Chair, Representative Hortman, that's the likely outcome of that, correct?
Thank you.
Please proceed.
Moving on to the next section here, the account is titled TAM here, but it's the Telecommunications Access Minnesota account. It's really tied in as well to the next item, Accessible News. These are the Telecommunications Access Minnesota provides telephone relay and equipment distribution programs to the state. In reality, what will happen here is $128,000 would be transferred out of the fund in fiscal year 10 and $135,000 in 11. All of these, the next few here, are special revenue funds or special revenue accounts. And the intention in the governor's budget is that the reductions here would then be transferred to the general fund to garner those savings. So the TAM account would be, those dollars would come out and be moved to the general fund.
Representative Beard. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Sir, the source of those money, I know the TAM account, I think, comes from assessment on telephone bills, doesn't it?
Mr. Janke?
Mr. Chair, Representative Beard, yes. There's a surcharge on telephone bills currently in the state. It's 4 cents currently. The funds are captured in this account, and are used to pay for this program.
How about the next,
Representative Beard?
Mr. Chair, thank you. The next batch from the renewable energy equipment grants on down, are those general fund appropriations, or they come from somewhere else as well?
Mr. Chair, Representative Beard, this whole next block here is all special revenue funds. So, kind of as we work through these, there will all be special revenue funds. So, the funding would come from various sources, whether it be, for instance, the surcharge in this case, or various other fees, or those types of revenues.
Mr. Chair, if I may ask, whenever he's touching on these line items, if you know off the top of your head where they're coming from, I think it'd be helpful for us just to know. Don't plow real deep, but it'd be nice to know where they're coming from, as special revenue. Thanks, Mr. Chair.
Mr. Janke.
Moving on to the next item, the renewable energy equipment grants. There's a $4,000 reduction here in fiscal year 10.
Representative Kalin.
Sorry, Mr. Chair, and my apologies, Commissioner Janke. I just thought before we got into the renewable energy pieces, the question about the accessible news line item. My understanding is it's federal funds, or that there's some federal restriction. I'm wondering if you could just describe. Pulling out of the dark recesses of my cobweb brain, that there are federal requirements in accessible news, and that may prevent us from doing this, or.
Mr. Chair, Mr. Representative Kalin, really where this money came, it's basically prior year money that we had sent to the Department of Human Services to administer the program. They had sent us back the funding, and it really just hadn't made it back into the main TAM account yet, so it's really not an impact on the current year programmatic activities at DHS.
Representative Jackson.
Could you please describe the program? What is Accessible News?
Mr. Janke.
Mr. Chair, I'm going to ask for some help on this one.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Diane Wells, manager of the Telecommunications Division at the Department of Commerce. Accessible News for the Blind is a service that was funded by the federal government until about 4 years ago, and it enables people to use their telephone to call up and have a newspaper read to them over the phone.
Representative Gill.
Just to follow up, Mr. Chair, I don't mean to harp on a $5,000 line item, but and so because the federal funding, because we're now, it's coming out of state funds rather than federal funds, then the federal restrictions, we're not dealing with the federal restrictions, excuse me?
Mr. Chair,
Ms.
Representative Kalin, the program would have gone away if the legislature wouldn't have appropriated the money, so I don't think there are any federal requirements for the program.
Great, thank you.
Mr. Janke.
The next item here, Mr. Chair, is the Renewable Energy Equipment Grants, $4,000 reduction in fiscal year 10. Funding for this account in statute as part of the Weights and Measures Program, is a little bit of a long explanation here, but as part of the Weights and Measures Program, some of the they collect 81 cents of the petroleum fee at the wholesale level. 81 cents of every dollar funds the Weights and Measures Program within our department. A portion of that is to be used for the renewable energy grants. In prior years, we've transferred $100,000 into this separate account to fund that program. There's some funds remaining in there from those transfers, and $4,000 of that would be canceled to the general fund. The next line item here is Energy Planning and Systems account, which is otherwise known as the Reliability Administrator account. $15,000 would be reduced in fiscal year 10. The funding from this account is an assessment on the utility industries, on the utility industry in the state. Various utilities pay into this account, and those funds are settled up at the end of the following year. So, in other words, if we the dollars that we assess equal the dollars that we spend for that activity. So in essence, what we would do here is the intention, I think, is to term these as expended amounts and basically assess back these costs to the industry. The next item is our license technology surcharge account. $34,000 and $52,000 respectively in the 2 years of the biennium. These fees or the monies in this account are garnered from a $40 technology surcharge that is placed on insurance agents, real estate agents, and others who license through our department. The intention for the dollars in this account is to pay for the cost of our licensing. We've installed a couple of licensing systems and some technology to help facilitate that, the licensing process. It pays for the transactional costs and the maintenance and upgrades of those systems. The next three accounts I think we'll talk about as a group. The first two here are demand efficiency or SIP funding for technical assistance, R&D grants, and then the last is for facility energy efficiency. There's $43,000 in total these amounts are $641,000 out of these accounts over the biennium. And if we basically, these have been assessed amounts to the industry. The assessment amounts are set up in statute. We've assessed these amounts, we've assessed previously for these dollar amounts, and those balances or some balances of those accounts would be canceled to the general fund. So if there's questions on any of those, I'll need to get some help on the specifics of what these programs do.
Representative Kalin.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think my overarching question is and concern is on the, not on the grant side, but more on the operating side. I know that there's been a lot of concern about having adequate staff to help the utilities and some of the custom programs and others that have been ramping up, and I'm a little concerned that whether we're going to take a significant step backward. Obviously, we're going to take a step backward, a significant step backward that would harm our ability to make sure that on the operating side that we're helping businesses stay open and, mm-hmm. and reduce their bottom line.
Mr. Chair, Representative Kalin, my understanding is that the operational costs or the salaries are really kind of confined to the technical assistance line here. The amounts were, the staffing for that area was based on, the assessment had been $800,000 a year, and it just, it went down to $450,000 this year. My understanding is that the operations were built around that $450,000 number.
Mm-hmm.
So while there may be some impact, I think it might not be too bad. It may not be the best. We can have some other folks come up if we need a little bit more than that.
I don't know if we need to drill. Thank you, Mr. Chair. I don't know if we need to drill deep today, but just one thought for us to touch base with. I know that some of the co-ops and others that willingly, well, I don't know if they willingly went along, but have accepted the charge of stepping up to the plate and are facing some challenges where the technical assistance could, removing a staff person may hamper that, their ability to meet that requirement. Just we'll keep talking about it some. I don't know if we need to talk about it now, but I think Mr. DeFebri is on his feet, but doesn't mean that he wants to come down and talk. unless there's a concern about stealing salad.
Well, I don't know that we'll have a lot of better opportunities, and since Mr. DeFebri is already standing, we might as well let him go ahead and enlighten us.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Jeremy DeFebri, and I'm with the Office of Energy Security, but I don't know that I'm in the enlightenment business. I will attempt to explain as best I understand. As Mr. Janke said, the fund for essentially what is operating, the Technical Assistance Fund for SIP program, had been for the first couple of years pegged at $800,000, and then automatically within the assessment, within the law, stepped down to $450,000. So we have some startup costs that were covered in those first 2 years, and we are now operating and had staffed within that $450,000. So the impact of this, particularly in the first year, the $37,000, largely is going to be offset by some of the work that we're doing using some of the staff for the appliance rebate program and other activities that cross over the utility coordination. So I think we're able to piece together so that there is no staff impact. And then second year is an $11,000 line item is something that I think we can work with.
Representative Kalin.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I know that some of the co-ops have talked about what we talked about originally in the SIP bill in 07, which is relying more on the expertise of our IOUs like Excel and others to do some of the knowledge transfer. I think that we want to make sure that we're accounting for that, not on dollars, but that they can get the assistance that they need from the private sector. But that we're not doing it in such that this cut doesn't hit too deeply that we make it tougher and tougher for outstate folks to meet this piece. I think we'll just keep talking about it and hear the concerns of those co-ops privately. If they feel like they need to come to the table later, then we can do that. But I understand the need that this is a big line item and a big revenue source. I just want to make sure that, as we know, efficiency is really one of the great ways to help our businesses out, and I want to make sure that we're not standing in the way of helping business by making deep cuts too deeply.
Mr. Janke?
Mr. Chair, moving on to the next group here, these are the bulk of these are all from the Renewable Development Fund. And I don't know that we necessarily need to get into every one of these in detail unless there's questions, but we're really talking about from the line titled RDF Biogas Recovery Grants down to one titled U of M Grant. those, the amounts, the dollar amounts in all of those total $406,000 over the biennium. And I'm not trying to just specifically gloss over those, but I don't want to, you know, bog us down in the details here unless there's specific questions on those. So, you know, we have Mr. DeFebri at the table as well, so that's the opportunity
the
for some specific questions.
The golden opportunity presents itself. So do members have any questions about any of these items? Apparently not.
Okay. We can move on, and if there's questions later, we can come back to that. The next item on the list is a $64,000 and $48,000 reduction, respectively, from the insurance fraud prevention account. This account is funded through an assessment on the insurance industry, and is the funds are used for, as said, insurance fraud prevention activities. This is an account that has had initially over-collected as they kind of ramped up their activities. Their assessments had begun immediately last session or last fiscal year. This account, $3 million out of this account was used and transferred to the general fund. So, again, we're looking at about $112,000 over the biennium here.
Next we have a question from Representative Knuth.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Two questions. First, on the Greenhouse Gas Advisory Group, the $13,000, is this the Climate Change Advisory Group or the Governors Association group?
Mr. DeFebri, I think that would be a question for you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, Representative Knuth. That was, I believe, the Greenhouse Gas Advisory Group that was authorized under laws of 08. So it would not be the governor's group.
Representative Knuth.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And on that group, did we ever appropriate money for that? I don't remember. I remember authorizing it, but I don't remember appropriating money. So I'm just curious where that money is from. And maybe I'm wrong. Maybe we did appropriate some.
Mr. DeFebri.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, Representative Knuth. My notes do show an appropriation of $500,000. It is a 200 fund, and it's noted. It's not noted as RDF, so my presumption is that would likely have been a special assessment. Does that,
Mr. Chair, Janke? Representative Knuth? I believe that that was a reappropriation of existing RDF funds. So in a few cases of if RDF funds hadn't been fully utilized, they were reauthorized. And that was reauthorized in Laws of 08, Chapter 340, Section 5. So it was basically taking existing RDF money and repurposing it.
Mr. Chair, I authored this bill, and this was for the Midwestern Governors Association, not the Climate Change Advisory Group. Just so we can be clear, which we're still waiting for, and I understand the backups there, and I think they're getting close. But it's a study that's going to build on what we got out of the Midwest Governors Association process.
Mr. Janke?
Mr. Chair, do you, Representative Knuth, do you need any, I mean,
yeah,
okay, all right.
I'm.
Okay. Just want to make sure we're square.
So this
Representative
is.
Knuth.
I just want to be clear. So this is from the $500,000 up to that we appropriated for the Midwestern Governors Association process. Not, okay, because I don't ever remember appropriating anything for the Greenhouse Gas Advisory Group.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Knuth, when you asked the question, I thought you were referring to the MCAG as the governor's group. So that was my confusion on it.
Representative Briner.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm just wondering on the grant dollars, you said that that represents 6% of the grants. If we could, can we assume, if we extrapolate it out in each of those cases, that the amount listed as the cut, if that's 6%, we could get the full grant at 100%? Is that true in every case or not?
Mr. Chair, Representative Breinert, that would be true specifically in fiscal year 11 because we were basing that on budgeted dollars in those years. It's a more difficult calculation in 10 because what we were really looking at is dollars, uncommitted dollars in the account, including cash balances. So that could include, in many of these cases, carry forward from prior years that was still in the account. So those amounts could be a little bit, you might overstate that should you extrapolate it out for how much dollars are there.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Breinert.
So I hear what you're saying. Could we get a document that would show us what the full grant amount is that those amounts are being taken from?
Mr. Janke.
Mr. Chair, Representative, yes, we can provide that. And okay. What we can do is, you know, we can get the grant amounts and how much are committed in different things and all those.
Thank you.
Mr. Janke, if you want to proceed.
Mr. Chair, the next account on our list here is the auto theft prevention account. There's $133,000 in fiscal year 10 between the operating and grant funds and $111,000 in fiscal year 11. The auto theft prevention account is funded on a 50 cents for every 6 months of insurance, of auto insurance in Minnesota. Those funds are deposited into this account and used for auto theft prevention activities across the state. Currently, $1.3 million of this account is sent to the general fund per statute, and these funds would be in addition to that. We don't feel like this will have a large impact on the operations of the program, though it could reduce the dollars that are, will reduce the dollars that are granted out to those local units of government. Moving on, the next account is the real estate, termed, usually called the Real Estate Recovery Fund. It's the Real Estate Research and Recovery Fund. This is funded by license fees. There's a portion of all real estate license fees that is deposited into this account and is used for education, research, and recovery activities surrounding the real estate industry. If there's bad actors out there and folks apply to this program, they can receive some compensation out of here. The reductions would be $49,000 and $5,000 respectively for the next couple of years. This account has also contributed to the general fund in the past through some transfers to the general fund. Next account is the Mortgage Originator Consumer Education account, a $7,000 reduction in fiscal year 10. Again, this is based on a portion of the mortgage originator licensure in the state. Those dollars are in here and they're used for consumer education.
Representative Kalin.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I don't know if this is a question that you can answer yet today, Mr. Janke, but I just have some concern, or I'd like to know more about what, with the housing crisis and with the need for making sure that as state and federal laws and grant programs and tax credits are changing and that things are with the foreclosure counseling, et cetera, that we're not undermining and making more difficult a problem that's out there. I don't know if you're able to comment on specifically the real estate side of those two funds, but if you could maybe help assuage some concern we might have that we're doing that if we make these cuts.
Mr. Janke.
Mr. Chair, Representative Kalin, I can kind of give you some of the numbers information and maybe we can have Deputy Munson-Ragala come up and talk more on the policy sides of it as well. The account has as far as the claims that are coming in, there had been a small amounts of claims that have been paid out in the past This fiscal year, we've seen an increase in that. We've had some larger claims that are approved and ready for payment that will be coming out of there as well, as we have, I think, what can be termed a larger amount pending currently that haven't been approved for payment than we have in prior fiscal years. Well, we can get some more from
Mr. Munson-Regala. Welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Chair, Representative Kalin, the fund works this way. There's a pot of money at the beginning of the year. It's first come, first serve. People put in claims, usually triggered by a judgment against a licensee of ours. When we run out of money, we run out of money. So it's a sum certain. We don't have the ability to replenish it. I don't recall we've ever run out of money before, but it's possible. I'm sorry. We have
never run out.
We've never exhausted the fund before. Could that occur with this reduction? Possibly. I don't think that's our expectation, but it's possible that could happen.
Representative Kalin.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So the 54,000 between the two fiscal years on the operating side is a drawdown of the fund, not a position administering or any people time. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay. Thanks.
Further questions for Mr. Munson-Regala, as long as we have him at the table? Apparently not.
Moving on, the next one is the power plant assessment. This is an assessment on utilities, again, for the routing and siting group within our department. 11 and 15,000 respectively would be transferred out of this account. The intention would be that those costs would be assessed back to the industry, and this group would not be administratively affected by this reduction. The next item is the pipeline routing account. This is a kind of an odd account. When this routing and siting group moved from the Environmental Quality Board over to our department a number of years ago, a little over $19,000 was transferred with them. It was really unclear whether we had the ability to, under statute, to do this. The money is basically kind of rolled forward from year to year, and we're proposing that we just cancel that money to the general fund to clean that up. The next account is the HMO regulation account, $4,000 and $9,000 respectively. This is an interagency agreement that our financial institutions area has with the Department of Health to do some actuarial and other work regarding HMO regulation that the Department of Health does. And the last account is the residential propane account, and we have $22,000 and $18,000 over the biennium for that account. My understanding, I'm not real certain on this one, but we get some money from the LP, for LP on this, and this is funding that's used for, I believe, low-income households to provide propane. That's the end of this list, Mr. Chair. I think we have a few other proposals on the governor's list, if we can refer back to that, and I can have some folks come up and talk about those items specifically. So we're back on the governor's, the pages that were in the governor's budget here. The next item on the list is is what's termed a federal licensing system access. And if Deputy Murphy would come up and talk about this one, I'd appreciate it. This is the implementation of the SAFE Act, which is national mortgage licensing system.
Deputy Commissioner Murphy, welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We have an initiative this year which is related to the regulation of the mortgage industry. There has been created a national mortgage licensing system apparatus in Washington, and the There was a federal law passed in 2008 which requires that states to participate in this licensing system. The direction Minnesota had gone in with respect to mortgage regulation was heavy on consumer protection legislation, and we licensed the mortgage companies and expected them to look after the behavior of their human beings that actually make the mortgages. The Federal SAFE Act mandates that we start to license the human beings that actually originate the mortgages. So we have to basically pay our fair share of the development costs into the system, which is in the neighborhood of $400,000, and we're proposing to assess the industry to pay that, and we'll be gearing up over the next year or two to fully implement this system. Basically a federal mandate, Mr. Chairman.
Commissioner Murphy, when you say assess the industry, would this be an assessment on the individuals that you license, or how would that be structured?
Mr. Chairman, each mortgage company that's licensed as at the end of 2009 would be required to pay, I think, in the neighborhood of $700 each to come up to the $400,000. That's to, you know, buy our way into this system. Going forward, the human beings that get licensed would be required to pay a licensing fee and then an annual renewal. Some of those, the fiscal elements of that, are still in process as part of the governor's budget proposal.
Questions for Commissioner Murphy? Representative Westrom.
Mr. Chair, Mr. Murphy, is this an ongoing fee every year that they're going to have to pay, or what are we getting for it?
Mr. Murphy.
I mean, what are my state banks? It's just the state banks, or is it all national and state?
Mr. Murphy.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Westrom, I guess what we're talking about here in the mortgage regulation, these are people that are the non-bank mortgage lending entities, so the banks will not be affected by this. The human beings that would be required to be licensed would pay $200 the first year, and the annual renewal would be $100 a year, or at least that's what we've proposed so far.
Representative
Mr. Chair, Mr. Murphy, who does that apply to? Does it apply to just home mortgages, or does it apply to financiers of farm equipment or other types of equipment out there? And I don't know if you answered this. I didn't hear it. Is this annual, or is this a one-time fee?
Mr. Murphy.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Westrom, the individuals that would be affected by this are the human beings that work for mortgage companies, non-bank mortgage companies that make residential home mortgages. We've proposed a $200 fee the first year and then a $100 annual renewal going forward.
Mr. Chair, Representative Westrom,
the $700
assessment on the institutions themselves would be a one-time.
Sure.
Western.
Mr. Chair, and that's in addition to the $200 and then $100 annual fee?
Mr. Jackie.
Mr. Chair, Representative Westrom, the $700 is on the companies. The other fees that Commissioner Murphy is talking about are on the individuals.
I see. Seems like a lot of money, but.
Representative Bly.
Thank you, Chair Hilty. Mr. Murphy, on a somewhat different topic, am I right in that your department oversees the HMOs, or the regulation of the state plans that use the HMOs? Is that correct?
Mr. Murphy.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Bly, the HMOs are actually regulated by the Department of Health. We have an agreement with them that we assist them with the financial regulation of those entities because our people are a lot better than those their people are at that. So we basically have an interagency agreement where they pay us to do the financial regulation of these.
And so maybe you can refer me.
Representative Bly.
Thank you, Chair Hilty. Maybe you can refer me. I have a question from a constituent who has shared with me a survey that was done about access to dental care, and that apparently the HMOs report that there are many more providers that are willing to take medical assistance and MA patients looking for dental care than are actually available. I mean, when the survey, when they asked the dentists who were on the list about 60% of the physicians they or the dentists they asked that they were either no longer taking new patients or were no longer serving those kinds of patients at all. Where would I go to find out how to correct that list or how to look at that list?
Mr. Murphy?
Mr. Chairman, maybe you and I could discuss this by telephone or something.
Sure, that'd be fine.
I'm not quite prepared to respond in this forum. I don't know the answer to the question exactly.
Thank you. I'll do that.
Mr. Chair, moving on to the next two items here, there's a couple of new proposals in the market assurance area. The notice filing fee is a change in some securities language, as well as some retroactive continuing education in our licensing area. There's an estimated $100,000 increase in revenue for the securities item. And an estimated $11,000 reduction in revenue for the continuing ed changes. And I'll have Deputy Munson-Regala come up and he can give you more of the policy changes here.
Thank you. Mr. Munson-Regala, welcome back.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. Mr. Chair, members, the first proposal with respect to the securities registration is a technical change on our part that has fiscal impact. When we adopted the Uniform Security Act in 2006, we exempted a number of filings from notice filings, but we inadvertently discovered that we had gone too far, that there were a number of securities filings that we intended to continue to be registered with us that a clever securities lawyer pointed out to us our language inadvertently left out. So we are proposing this language to return to our intended status quo. Our 100,000 guess is based on what we saw as a reduction in the notice filings we received. We're assuming that once we clarify our intent, we'll see those filings come back in. That's our best guess on how we came up with 100,000 there. The second piece is it's a policy proposal on our part that does have a fiscal impact. Currently, when you take a continuing education, you typically take it from an approved course. There are limited instances where you can apply for a previously unapproved course and ask us to look at that individual course and make a determination whether or not we can give you retroactive credit for the course. It takes a tremendous amount of time on our staff's efforts to review those individual requests to determine whether or not they would meet the statutory standards. We're proposing the elimination of the ability to get retroactive credit for unapproved courses. That will eliminate roughly $11,000 in annual fees we receive.
Representative Kalin.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm wondering if you're willing to outline what Rule 506 offerings are. Emphasis on outline.
Mr. Munson-Regala.
Mr. Chair, Representative Kalin, that's probably all I can do because I'm not the securities expert in our shop. Rule 506 offerings are securities offerings of a sophisticated nature. You have to be a qualified purchaser to buy these kind of products. We require them to be filed with us so we know that they're being sold in our state. We don't actually have the ability to approve or opine on whether or not they're a good thing to purchase. We just want to know that they're actually being purchased. In part because since they're intended to be sold to sophisticated buyers, we want to be sure that the sophisticated buyers are provided enough information to make the decisions that they have to make. It's also been our experience that they tend to be prone to shenanigans, for lack of a better word. So it's good for us to know what's being sold.
Mr. Chair, the last item.
I presume that somewhere there's someone has some idea of what constitutes a sophisticated buyer, but let's not go into that at this time. Mr. Janke.
Mr. Chair, the last item on the page here is the unallotment ratification. This is basically continuation of reductions that during the governor's unallotment, the Market Assurance Division general fund budget was reduced to $150,000. The Administrative Services budget was reduced $97,000. These changes here are shown in 12 and 13 to basically push those reductions out. We've budgeted for that in our current budget plans, and the earlier reductions that I discussed for market assurance and admin contemplate these reductions being permanent. And Mr. Chair, that's all we had for today.
Are there any questions from members at this point? Seeing none, Mr. Janke, thank you very much. We will be in touch.
Thank you.
Members, the only remaining business before the committee today is the approval of the minutes from February 22nd. The chair would entertain a motion to that effect.
So moved.
Motion is before us. Any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor of the adoption of the minutes, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed? Motion prevails. The minutes are adopted, and this meeting is adjourned.